Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll take up the reading at verse 20. We'll get a little background. Ephesians chapter 4. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught in Him, just as truth as in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, I pray over the next few minutes that you would quiet our hearts and minds from the affairs of this life that would rob us of the blessing of hearing, of heeding the preaching of the Word of God. Holy Spirit, would you perform your work of illumination in the hearts and minds of the believers? If there's one here that does not know Christ as Savior, may today be the day of salvation. Lord, would you grant understanding in accordance with thy word as only you can? Guide us into all truth. Perform your work. For we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. We began a series of messages entitled Change Your Clothes. Change Your Clothes. You are in Christ. And I want us to you to understand this morning that as we look at this text, that there is a reality of change that occurs when you come to Christ. And I want you to grasp that change this morning as we look not only at this text, but at a couple of texts that we look at in regards to our change. We said earlier, first of all, that when the apostle said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 20 that you did not learn Christ this way. And we took the analogy in an adult, a parent, training a child, that when a parent says, listen, you're misbehaving, I didn't raise you that way, I didn't teach you that way, that's the same analogy of the believer who has come to the Lord Jesus Christ and to live like the world, to live ungodly, that the apostle says, look, you haven't been taught that way. You did not learn Christ this way. And you look back, what happens? The Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. They're darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God by the ignorance that is in them because of the hardness of their heart. They become callous. They've given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. You didn't learn Christ that way. Don't be like that. You weren't raised that way. So consequently, you need to understand we talked about this last time, that in comprehending change, you were converted. You changed. Now then, there is a capacity for change. You are capable of change in that you are to be Christ-like. And I want you to understand, first of all this morning, why that is. You must understand what regeneration, being a new creature, looks like in Christ. So let me pause for a minute. And let you look at what happens when we become converted to get this picture in our mind. We are created body, soul, and spirit. Unless you're a dichotomist. I don't know if we have any of those. Did I do? Okay. Some of you are not awake yet this morning. I'll try to wake you up. Stay with me. Body, soul, and spirit. So, guess what this morning? You're going to be so glad you came to church. You all have a physical body. Profound, right? You all have a body. Okay? So picture three circles. You have a body. You also have a soul and a spirit. In looking at that picture, in the fact that I'm body, soul, and spirit, there are five, if I were to unfold this a little bit further in my display, what are your five senses? We got all different answers all at once. Yeah, but you think touch, your hearing, your sight, taste, smell, all those things. That's in the body, and those affect this right here, and I'll explain it in just a minute why that is. But you have a body, physical body. Soul here, in the Greek, if you were to see it, would be psuche, where we might get a English word, psychology. Okay? The soul part here is your immaterial part. That's where your mind is, your intellect, your emotions, your personality. Anything apart from muscle and bone and those physical senses. Your conscience, your imagination, thoughts. So the gateway to the mind is through the hearing, the senses, what you might read, all those affect your what you might imagine, your intellect, all those things. That's the gateway into the soul. And so you might have on this outward bar, you might put your conscience, your intellect, any type of personality, all those things. Then you are created spirit. And this is the spiritual part of you. Your spiritual part. Now, what I want you to see today and this morning is, what does conversion look like when the Bible says that old things are passed away, behold, all things become new? When I come to Christ, does it perhaps, some people think, when I'm coming to Christ, does it look like this? Well, I have Jesus, the Holy Spirit. You like my little stick figure? I worked so hard at that. Does He just simply come along beside me? Now, we know He never leaves us or forsakes us. We know that He is the paraclete, that He comes alongside to aid. But is that image adequate enough to describe what happens when I come to Christ in conversion? That He's just kind of, He just comes alongside and helps me. That is insufficient, although that He may. He's there with us all the time, but I can't stop the picture there. Does it perhaps look like this? In my spirit, I have the new person, but I'm still left with a little bit of old. And this is where the picture comes up sometimes. You got the white dog and the black dog, and they're warring together, and you got this big old fight going on. Is that the image of conversion? Does Christ come in and say, well, we've got to rearrange the furniture? You know, if this whole room was your spirit, and we drew the line right here, we say, okay, take all these chairs, and we got to scrunch everything over here, and we'll make this all new. No. When old things are passed away and all things become new, the picture is that the spirit is totally regenerated. What is lacking in the model here is really the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, just becoming totally pervasive in that whole sphere. Now, looking at that, if I have a gateway in my body of all the senses converging into the soul, and you might have conscience, intellect, you know, all in that center part, what is the gateway here to regeneration that I have left out? Now, well, you could say heart there, but you're close. You're close. You're getting there. What have I left out? What part of us? Well, this is the transformation and regeneration. But what's the gateway? How do I get there? You have all these other gateways coming into here, but what's the gateway there? This is guess what the pastor's thinking game. Okay. the will, the yieldedness. Now, you can argue what comes first, faith, repentance, how I was drawn. I don't care how you want to picture that and in what order you want to put in if you want to go down that road. You know, I can't be regenerated, I guess God does, or what comes first, you know, the Arminianism, Calvinism. Still, it's the will. And I want you to remember that picture. You would picture the will as the gateway to get to here. And what happens is, and what I'm going to show, I'm going to give you two pictures in just a minute of why that is so. And the concept of Jesus Christ being merely added into my life is an inadequate picture. And you must grasp this morning the total picture of regeneration and made new. Because in that model, it will picture how you view the following verses that we're going to look at this morning. Why do I say, first of all, that in looking in this at this model of what regeneration is, that there is a removal? I want to underscore that with two pictures this morning. Take your Bible and look at Colossians chapter 2. The picture here is so vivid. Colossians chapter 2, just over a couple pages. In Him, verse 10, what was Ephesians 1 talking about over and over and over again? In Him, in Christ, what you have in Him, the forgiveness of sins, redemption. In Colossians chapter 2, in Him you have been made complete. You've been made complete. He is the head over all, rule and authority. And in Him, you were also what? Circumcised. Folks, the Holy Spirit, God does not pen His Word with words that don't have meaning. In other words, no pun intended, the communication here is specific, always for a reason. What is circumcision literally in its dictionary definition? It is a cutting away. There's a cutting and there is a removal. Now, you might, when you look at this first word, identify what is physically noted by that term in a biological, medical sense. However, he goes on to describe it. He says, in Him you were circumcised with a what? A circumcision not without hands. There is a circumcision that occurs here that is not physical. Is that what the text says so far? You got it? If that's what it says, that it is the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now, when you read that, it sounds like is there a removal of this body? I mean, what happens? If I go back to the model, let's see, can I go? Oh, oops, we'll go forward one. What is removed here when he talks about, I hit the wrong buttons all the time. There we go. In the removal of the flesh, what is regenerated, he's talking about this part here, because is my intellect removed? Is my conscience removed? It can't be that. It cannot be any part of my body or my soul, as soul is used here, my psyche. Think of psyche by that word. Don't confuse it with soul, where my soul might go. But when I refer to the Spirit and what is created new, The Bible specifically says in the book of Colossians that there is a circumcision without hands and there is a removal. There is a removal. Now, there is a removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Because why? You've been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised up Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. Remember we said baptism doesn't always mean water. It can mean union with and together. You're in Him. You're united with Him. And there is a union spiritually with Christ, the Holy Spirit, as He resides in you. Okay? So, circumcision, a cutting away. Now, if I were doing a remodeling project, one of the first things you would do is to get rid of the old. Right? Gotta take out all that old junk. Gotta get rid of it. It's gotta go. And so, if you were to take this building and picture this as your body, and we said this stage was your spiritual part. We went out there a little bit there, and there was the soul part. Well, the chairs could be the soul, and everything else back there is the body. We're going under a spiritual renovation. And so the first thing we're going to do is just take everything that's on this stage, and it's just going to be all gone, and pick it up, and it's just going to be removed. There is a removal. Okay? A circumcision, a cutting away. The next picture, Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. We got the cutting away part. You have to come to that conclusion in looking at that word circumcision. Spiritually. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. What shall we say then? This is verse 1. Are we to continue in sin that so grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who are what? Dead to sin live in it? Do you not know that all of us have been baptized into Christ Jesus, have been baptized into His death, therefore we've been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as though Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. We've been united with Him in the likeness of His death. Knowing this, you ought to get this, He's saying. You ought to understand this. You ought to be able to picture this. Knowing this, our what? Old self was... I don't know, but the last time I checked, crucifixion was like totally dead. It wasn't mostly dead. It wasn't a little bit dead. I mean, you were dead, dead, dead. Any more words to add to that? The picture of dead and your old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin, in order that the body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be what? Slaves to sin and be in its bondage. You are crucified with Christ, you're free. Two pictures of change and what necessitates in the beginning of conversion that you find in the Word of God, at least, possibly more, but two things that we looked at this morning. Circumcision, a cutting away of removal, and crucifixion. Crucifixion. Now, my body of sin being dead. What then am I left with? I submit to you that you have a new nature, but a sinful flesh. a new nature. You are new in Christ. We wait for the redemption of the body and the glorification that we will receive. But I'm going to have a new mind someday. Praise the Lord. And I'm not going to remember all those hurts and pains and all the garbage that we went through down here. But I have a new nature in Christ. It is not merely the Lord Jesus Christ being added into my life, although He's certainly there. But there is complete change in regeneration. You will battle a sinful flesh, and the imagery of kind of the white dog and the black dog and whichever you feed more and struggling, I wish you would just erase that, because that is not the frame in which you should walk in this life, because that's not what you are. You are new in Christ. And so I want to submit to you this morning. You say, well, Pastor Dave, what about Romans chapter 7? Because that's what everybody always throws up. And every time I do that, I just want to scream no. And you say, why do you say that, Pastor Dave? I say, I'm glad you asked. When did Paul come to Christ? Was that prior to Pentecost? Oh, I goofed. Let me back up. The illustration will still work. It's okay. What was Paul prior to his conversion on the road to Damascus? He was under the law, right? Pharisee. Did he think he was trying to live right? Yes. Romans chapter 7. He wasn't converted, but boy, he was trying to live right. Let me get to where that is. Romans chapter 7. Okay, what I am doing, I do not understand. Verse 15, for I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with what? The law. Confessing that the law is good. So now no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me that is in my flesh, for the willing is present, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then the principle that evil is present in me and the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? He says, I see this. How am I going to be set free from this? I'm under the law, and I'm trying to do good. But I find that in the trying to do good, I can't do it. How am I going to be set free? He was a religious man trying to live under the law, and what he describes is that battle right there. Romans chapter 6 is the description of an individual who is not like that. Paul said, I know what that's like. I tried to live that way. I tried to serve God, which the best way that I knew how, under law, but I kept seeing this, and it wasn't adequate. It wasn't working. Romans chapter 7 is not the description of the believer who is indwelt by the Holy Spirit with a new nature. Romans chapter 7 is a description of a person under Old Testament law trying to do what's right, but they do not have a regenerated spirit, and they are not indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Paul's saying, I knew what that was like, because I tried to live that way. How can I be set free from the white dog and the black dog? Verse 25 of Romans chapter 7. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ has set you free from the law of sin and death. I've been set free through Christ. Chapter 8 is the victory in Him. Don't live in chapter 7. You live in chapter 8. Don't stop. And so don't use chapter 7 as an excuse for mediocre Christianity. Well, I just kind of can't help myself. Don't stay there. That is not where you are to reside. That is not how you are raised to live when you are in Christ. When you understand what conversion is and the change that occurs, we then look at our text. And it becomes a little tricky. That's the foundation. I've built a foundation, and now I've got to look at this text in accordance with what these other passages say. This is very important. If indeed, in Ephesians chapter 4, you've been taught in Him just as the truth in Jesus, that in reference, get this, underscore, in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self which is being corrupted in accordance with the bit lust of its deceits. And when you read that verse, you begin to ask yourself this question. Let me catch up. You ask yourself this question, well, what am I to put off and what am I to lay aside? He tells me to put off something and to lay aside something. When you look at it in Ephesians chapter 4, what does it look like when you read it that you are to put off? At first glance, well, the old self. That's what it looks like, doesn't it? But that's not how you should look at this verse. And you say, but Pastor Dave, why do you say that? Well, because of the Greek. The old man is not the object of what we are to put off. You have a new nature. What he is telling you is this. There is a definition, a clarification, a defining, if you will. And to understand it in the English, you would say, put off the former manner of life. That's so like that old man, because that old man was corrupt. It was like a cancer in your body. And it was just pervasive and it was affecting you. In your soul, in your psyche. And you couldn't stop sinning. But you put off that conduct. The object of the putting off is really the laying aside the former life. There is a clarification that, he says, I'm referring to your former manner of life by which I'm talking about next. That you put off. Because all that former of life was associated with the old self that was corrupt in accordance with his lusts and deceits. because I'm made new. Now you might say, well, Pastor Dave, here's my old jacket from home. It's been hanging in the garage. It's all dusty. You know? Yeah, my zipper's all broken. I was crawling around under the house doing ABS pipes. I got glue on. What if I, you know, pretty cool fashion statement here. Woohoo. This doesn't really go together, does it? No, not really. But would you put this on? And so, hey, GQ, front page, well, hot dog. Gentleman's Quarterly magazine. Yes. I only know of, never subscribed to. So, you have Christians going, hey, I'm a Christian, but I'll take the former life. No. What are you doing? Don't you know the joy that you should have in the Lord Jesus Christ? And the putting aside, the emphasis is, did I really work or slave at this coat per se? I mean, somebody else, it was part of my old nature prior to. I just take everything that is associated with that former life. And I'm just supposed to just take that off. By the act of the will. The act of the will. The gateway to the inner man. The new self. And I am, as the text reads later on, to put on Christ. Somebody else worked at making this coat, this suit coat. God does all the work in regeneration. And He has made you new. And all you need to do by the surrender of the will is just simply to put on Christ and to live Him out. And you should just get rid of all that other stuff that was associated with your former life. Do not stay in that sphere of influence. Some people will say, well, I tried Christianity. And they view it like, you know, like they were a fish. And they tried to walk on land, you know. They say, well, I tried that stuff and I just couldn't do it. Well, no kidding. You weren't regenerated. You weren't born again. You were still a fish. That's why it didn't work. It's not something, you don't just, it's not a religion to try, take a leave, you know, just to take or leave it. That's not what it is. The regeneration of the heart and soul by the work of the Holy Spirit in conversion is the act of God, the forgiveness of sins, the redemption that we have. How do you get that? How are you made new? So deep down inside, you're washed as white as snow. The surrender of the will that says, Christ alone. And I'm depending upon the Lord Jesus Christ and His sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. That's it. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Religion is not something to try. And my dear friend, would you surrender to Christ if you never have? If you are a believer who's playing church, who wants to put on the former way of life, like the old jacket, what are you doing? What are you doing? That's why Paul told the church in Galatians, oh, foolish Galatians. You guys, I just can't believe what you're doing here. You foolish Galatians in chapter 3, who has bewitched you before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? The only thing I want to find out from you, you did receive the Spirit Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? What are you doing? Don't do that. Live out Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. We've been building a foundation slowly but surely of the gospel in Ephesians chapter 1. We're beginning in Ephesians chapter 4 about not only just talking Christianity, but walking Christianity. And how do you do that? By living out what you are in Christ. You have a new nature. Be what you are. Yield to Him. Live out what God has already created you to be. And He's saying, you put off all that other stuff that's associated with the life, your old life. Why? Because there was an old self at one time that brought about corruption in your life, that had a whole bunch of sinful lusts and deceits. Don't do that. That's not how you were raised to be. That's not what I wanted you to be. But you are to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And you are to put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Live out Christ. Live for Him. Put Him first. Live for Him. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. If you're here and you don't know Christ as Savior, none of this will make a lick of sense until you come to Christ. You need to surrender to Him and say, Lord, come into my life, save me, make me your child. But I might be talking to some believers here this morning that in understanding conversion, you now have a capacity for change in Christ-likeness because you've been made new. Are you endeavoring to put on Christ and live for Him? If the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart about something, would you yield it and surrender it to Him? Our gracious Heavenly Father, would you take the Word of God this morning and apply it to the heart through the Holy Spirit as only you can? Finish this message in our heart and seal it. For we pray it in Thy name. Amen.